Amen. Everybody say, enough is enough. That's not the title of the message. That's just what came up. Okay. Enough is enough. But see, one of the things that happens, or I should say that has happened to believers, is that, and you've heard me say this, we get upset when stuff happens to us. It's okay if it happens to somebody else. We got a word for it. We got a word of the Lord. Right? But see, we have to understand something. And I may share it later in the message, but God said share it now. I'm going to give you the Pastor Joseph Lewis translation of 2 Peter 5. You know, it says Satan comes as a... And he's doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. Doesn't say he's seeking who he can devour. He's seeking who he may devour. Now see, can means you have the ability. I can do all things through Christ. I have the ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the devil comes as a roaring lion and says, may I devour you? And you say yes. He said, no, I never said yes. Yes, you did. You just didn't realize it. Because you were leaning over into your own understanding, and your own understanding said, this is hopeless. I feel so helpless. I don't think God will do this for me. And he comes right in and he does what he wants to do. And folks, I have such an urgency in my spirit and in my soul about this. We have to get this thing settled once and for all. If we believe that our God is the real God, we need to follow hard after him. Amen. And forget everything else. Amen. But if we don't, if we believe there's some other God, then follow after that. But you got to make up your mind as to who you are, what you believe, and how you're going to conduct yourself. There's something on the horizon. And it's not just the elections. But there is something on the horizon, and God said, don't try to figure it out. If you're properly prepared, it doesn't matter what it is. So our responsibility is not to go to our own understanding and try and figure this out. Our responsibility is to be properly prepared. So when whatever comes, however it comes, it's not going to catch us napping. Amen. Matter of fact, it's going to come, it's going to turn the corner, and he's going to find us there waiting for it. It's like, what took you so long? I have other things to do. Come on, I got to get this thing over with. But we won't do that. We need to understand that whatever it is has to yield to faith-filled believers who know who they are. God never promised us a rose garden. But look what he did promise us. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. As a matter of fact, this isn't even a promise. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory, this is the New King James, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a promise. This be fact. This be truth. This is what God declared. He didn't say, I might give you the victory. He didn't say, I will give you the victory. He said, thanks be to God who gives you the victory. You know what that means? You already got it.
Amen.
You already got it. But there's this smoke screen called doubt and unbelief that's preventing us from seeing what we already have. And that's what the enemy is counting on. See, when God said he's given us the victory, he's given us, by definition, success and triumph over an enemy in battle or war. And there's a key in that, folks, and I'll get to that in a moment. It's an engagement ending in triumph. It's the ultimate and decisive superiority in any battle or contest. It's a success or superior position achieved against any opponent, any opposition, any difficulty whatsoever. That's what he's given us. And we haven't taken the time to understand that. But see, what we have to get it settled, what we have to get settled is this. We can't have a victory unless we're in a battle. We can't have success in a contest unless we are in the contest. But when the battle shows up, the engagement presents itself, we wimp out. We said, Lord, why is this happening to me? I told you it would. But I told you I've given you the victory. See, the road to victory is not smooth. It's rough. And that's the title of this message, The Rough Road to Victory. But see, even though the road is rough, where will it take you? If you stay on it. How many of you have ever taken an airline flight? And I don't know how this can happen, but you encounter rough wind. And the airplane, the jet, instead of going, start in the air. And he's like, how can this be? I'm on air. Okay. How many of you go and you bang on the pilot's door and say, turn around, take me back home? But what do? You sit in your seat, you buckle your seatbelt, and a lot of you pray. Some of you praying hard. But well, let me ask you this question. Did God send you? Did he tell you to go? So why not follow the instructions of the pilot, fasten your seatbelt, and get into praise and thanksgiving, because he's already given you the victory. So I mean, that means you already have safe transportation, because he's given it to you. But we're not thinking that way because our own understanding kicks in. And when it kicks in, it kicks God out. Because we're no longer now depending on God's words. We're depending on what we think about God's word. We're depending on what we've learned. We're depending on what we have experienced. We're depending on what other people have said, and we neglect to go to the source. I have this saying that if you go to the horse's mouth, you'll never look like the other end. Okay. So why try and figure this out? God said, if you lack wisdom, ask me. He didn't say, if you ask wisdom, go discuss it with your friends. If you lack wisdom, you have the World Wide Web. Go out and look it up. No, he said, if you lack wisdom, ask of him, and he will provide it liberally. See, anything else is someone's personal slant on your situation. I am so glad that God allowed me to experience the symptoms I experienced with these blood clots in Lancaster, because these doctors didn't know me. Our doctor would have started from a particular point based on his knowledge and his experience with me. And his knowledge and experience with me and the testing that he's done on me said, no way I have blood clots in my body. So he wouldn't have been looking for that. So God had to have it someplace where someone would look at the whole me. Well, that's why we go to God. He is always looking at the entire picture. We're talking about someone, because God is a person. He's a spirit, but he's a person. He's my daddy. But we're talking about someone who knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. You were alive and kicking in his mind. In God's mind, you were alive. He saw you as a prophet to the nations. God did. So forget about that myth that, you know, life begins once you come out of the womb. Our lives began before we were made it into the womb. That's how much thought God has put into each and every one of us. Do you actually think he's done that to have us fail? He wouldn't lie to us. We have to start believing him and going after him and not doing and stop leaning to our own understanding. Let's read Proverbs 3. I know you know I'm not making this up. Then I'm going to tell you something about this rough road to victory. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, King James Version is fine, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means there can't be any room for you to consider what anything else has done or anyone else has said. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. I like to say, but in all thy ways, and we already found out, I call that Deacon Ken's word now. All means all. Nothing excluded. Nothing. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. What path? The path down that rough road to victory. He'll tell you when to stop. He'll tell you when to bear a little to the left. And he's not like these GPS systems. He doesn't need you to put in what new roads were created. He already knows that. He's always going to give you accurate instructions. And the reason we bump into stuff is because we don't listen. I usually don't do this, but I'm going to share with you my opinion. Okay. In my opinion, that verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, is probably the most abused one of the most abused verses in the Bible. Because every single day we lean to our own understanding in something. Because I don't think any of us, that includes me, if I'm getting into the car because I have some things at the cleaners, I don't stop and say, God, am I supposed to pick these up from the cleaners today? I figure, I talk to God about that. I'm going to the cleaners. What's the big deal? Well, God knows that this truck is going to run the red light on Middletown Road and Route 59. And he knows that that's going to happen at, let's say, 11:56 a.m. And so I say, God, have these clothes in the cleaners. I think I'm going to go and get them now. Is that all right with you? He'll say, no. May say, why don't you leave at 12? And I'll think, what's the difference between now and 12? By 12 o'clock, I can be back. And then my wife and I, we go out and get something to eat. What's the big deal? I don't know that this truck is going to run the red light. But he does. And I put God in a position where they have to do something miraculous has to happen to save me, or I'll be sitting on his knee and he'll be explaining to me why I came to see him so soon. Why? Because I leaned to my own understanding. Yes, it is that simple. And every single day we make those kind of choices and we don't consider God. I don't ask God always. Sometimes I do. But I don't always ask God what route I should take for a particular place. You know why? You know, why do you think I don't ask him? Because I already know how to get there. And if not, I have a sync system. I just push a button and say directions. And the mechanical God will tell me where to go. We need to think about that. Because that's where it starts. And then it gets easier to lean to your own understanding. And then when you hear something or someone does something and we don't really understand it, rather than cop an attitude, go to God. Lord, what am I seeing here? And why is this happening? Why is this person responding to me like this? Don't be so quick to be judgmental, because that causes separation. And whatever produced the rift, if we don't handle it properly, it will get bigger. Now, but think about this. In Romans 5, verse 8 to 10, in the Amplified Bible, I want to share this with you, then I'm going to go back to something. But God, let me give you verse 8. But God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. Therefore, since we are now justified, means until he died for us, folks, and until we received him, we weren't justified. But now we're justified, acquitted, made righteous, and brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood. How much more certain is that we shall be saved by him from the indignation and wrath of God? Now let's think about this a minute. Why would God do what he needed to do to save us from his indignation and wrath, only to leave us subject to the indignation and wrath of his enemy? Why would he do that? He wouldn't. That's right. He wouldn't. And we have to stop acting like he would. He wouldn't do that. If he wanted us to be mashed and beat up, he could have done it himself. He wouldn't have had to put Jesus through all of that stuff if that was what he wanted for us. So anytime we find ourselves in a position where it looks like everything is going wrong, and every time we turn around, we see Satan's hand coming and smacking us, We have to get it together. God's gotten it together. He's like, look, I already gave you the victory. I already gave you power over all the power this guy has. Why are you tolerating this? And if you don't know how to use your power, ask me. I had to get an electric razor because on the anticoagulants, they don't want me to use a regular razor because they say if you cut yourself, it bleeds too long. Well, I cut myself and I didn't bleed that long. You know, I spoke to it, put the thing on, but because God said, do what the doctor told me to do, I went out and I got an electric razor. And it's self-cleaning, but I couldn't get the self-cleaning mechanism to work. And it's like, I did everything that I'm supposed to do. Why isn't this? I'm taking it back. Like, enough of this. I'm going to go back to a razor. I know that works. And it was 4:30 this morning. I wasn't waking up. I was going to bed. And God said, read the instructions. Now, I usually do, but I was misreading. And all that was wrong was the cartridge that has the cleaner in it wasn't pushed all the way in. And there was one tab on there, because, I mean, this cartridge came with like 753 different tabs you had to pull off. that's a huge exaggeration. There were four, three of them I didn't know about. And I'm looking, why is this? The status light is just blinking red, 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 red. And so I didn't just read the instructions. I studied them. Because I said, no, I have to find out why this isn't right. I don't want to have to go and take another one back and get another model. And I'm reading the instructions, and I pick it up. I'm like, oh, pull it out, take that tab off, take tap, push it back in. I still see the light blinking. I'm like, what's? And I looked at it again, and I saw where it wasn't lined up. It was like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of an inch off. I just pushed it in with click, start working. Like that. Because I studied the instructions. And it took me through everything I needed to do to get the results that were promised. This promise to give me, after it said, 30 days, you'll have the best shave that you've ever experienced. Not if you don't read the instructions. We have to stop leaning to our own understanding. But let me tell you something. I looked up the definition of rough, because we're talking about the rough road to victory. You ready for this? A coarse or uneven surface with irregularities or breaks, not smooth. It may be an uninhabited region. That's where those feelings of loneliness comes in, because you think you're there by yourself. It may be steep or uneven. It may be covered with high grass, because that'll make you feel like you'll never find your way out. You ever been in a situation where you say, you can't see the end from the beginning. Say, if I could just see a little light, I'll know. Well, see, every time you say that, the devil blocks the light from coming. Because you don't need to see a little light to know. All you have to do is know that God said so. There can be, listen to this one, violent infractions of the rules. Violent, uncomfortable situations, placed in danger. We don't want any of that. We want it easy. Easy like a Sunday morning. Oh, yeah. That's what we want. Well, I don't know which day of the week is rough, but that's what we get. Sometimes we do get the Sunday morning ease, but sometimes we don't. And we will get off the road because we don't think, God, I'm a child of God. I don't have to go through this. The servant is not greater than his master, than his Lord. And last time I checked, talking about Jesus, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was placed on him, and he took stripes so that we could be healed. You think that was easy? The Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul was stoned and left for dead. That means when they left him, they didn't see his chest going up and down. They put a mirror under his nostrils. They didn't see, it didn't fog up. And he had to be a bloody mess. And the disciples got around him and were praying. And it says he got up, went into the city, and started ministering again. But he had to experience the stoning. And when he got up, he's like, I'm not going through that again. I'm out of here. But think about what God, one of the first things God said about him. I will show him the things that he must suffer for my sake. The things that he must suffer. The things he will have to go through. The loneliness, the violence, the shipwrecks, the snake bites, being thrown in prison. He had to go through that because he already had a victory. And he was determined, he said, I'm going to finish my course. And we have to be the same way. We have to have the resolve that we are going to finish the course that God laid out for us, and we are not going to concern ourselves with how rough the road may be. It's not going to stay rough, but even if it did, what is it to us? We have a guarantee. See, when you focus on the turmoils of life, something takes root inside you and you don't realize it. Bitterness. And as you use your mouth to water that bitterness, fruit springs from it. Bitter fruit. And wherever you go, the only thing that comes out of your mouth is bitterness. Because you've been beaten up by this world or this world system. And you've been trying to navigate your way through it. And you can't. Because you are leaning to your own understanding. And you're having your own personal pity party. And you've made it a formal event. And so everywhere you go, all that comes out, bitter, 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 bitter. And then you start getting upset with your brothers and sisters in Christ because you put them in a position where they don't feel like being long-suffering with you. And now you find yourself feeling even more alone because it's like your church family abandoned you. That shouldn't happen. That's just another side effect, because when we lean to our own understanding, we put another person in a position where they may now choose to lean to their own understanding because of my behavior. You may say, I understand that you're a nut. I'm not going to be around you. oh no, I got to keep my mind on holy things. And I don't have any time to hear this nonsense. Well, we have to take the time to hear the cry of someone in pain. It's not nonsense to them. It is very, very real. And they are demonstrating to us that I haven't got it yet. We who have can't leave them out there. Doing so is leaning to our own understanding. We need to embrace them. After service, why don't we're going over to BJ's or PF Chang's, or we're going over to my house. Why don't you come? I don't leave here at the end and come flock going and say, Pastor Greg said everybody come over to his house. Not that we don't want you there. But friends, we need to realize loneliness is a real feeling. Hurt is a real feeling. Distress is a real emotion. And we who are spiritual need to go to our Father for the wisdom on how to help those who are in that state. Because they have a vital part in God's plan for mankind. And the devil knows it. And I dare say that sometimes people go through much is because what they accomplish is going to be much, and the devil's trying everything he can do to stop it. Their job can be more important than ours. So the devil's working overtime on them. We need to understand that despite everything Jesus went through, everything, when he ascended into hell, the Bible says, well, the Amplified says that he dismissed the rulers and authority, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, and made a public example of them, exhibiting them as captives in his triumphal procession, having triumphed over them through the cross. See, we get excited when we hear that, and we should. But there's a part of it that we don't remember. He had to go to hell to do that. He had to die on the cross. He had to endure crucifixion, even though he was completely innocent. And he had to be abandoned by God, so that we wouldn't have to ever feel like we're abandoned. So yes, get excited because he went to hell and made a show of the devil openly. But think about what it took for him to get there, so we can have what we have today. And understand that if he did it, we can do it also, and we're not required to do it to that degree. We only have to do it in principle. See, we have things that it feels like we're going through hell. But you're not. I have no idea personally of what hell is. I've read and heard some things. And just from that, I know it's a place that I never want to see. I don't even want to see it from a distance. But Jesus loved us so much and loved God so much that he was willing to go there. So whenever sometimes you say, oh, I'm not going to go there, yeah, check out what your Father wants you to do. And if he tells you go there, and you'll be fine. But how many of you know Psalm 103? What are the first verses? What's the next verse? Forget not all his. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Stop right there. We get excited about that psalm, and we should. But think about what it's saying to us. Why would God have to forgive all my iniquities if I wasn't going to act like a knucklehead sometime? You think about that. So why are you beating yourself up because you missed it? God said, I forgive all your iniquities. He said, I healeth. Well, in order for him to healeth, you have to be sicketh. Something's going to come. And when it comes, your attitude is, Father, this is the diagnosis that they gave me. And you said, you heal all my diseases. So I know I'm healed. Because you said, so we need to understand. If it wasn't going to come, there'd be no reason for him to say, I healeth all of it. So when it comes, stop getting all bent out of shape. God already has it covered. I got to change the time on the screensaver. To me, this is a big one. It says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I think Phyllis and I had a good conversation because I said, that means we're going to be destructed. But destructive is not really a word unless self is in front of it. But we were in a position where destruction was going to take place. So that means it had to be looking bad, folks. And God said, no. I redeem your life from destruction. See, when we get excited about that, but we don't stop and realize, that means destruction is going to come at me. That's why when it comes, when I say to you, you should get excited when it comes, because you know God is getting ready to act. He's getting ready to move on your behalf because destruction is coming at me, and he said he redeems my life from that. So I'm not concerned about that because I have a promise from him. That's the mindset we have to adopt. On our rough road to victory. We need to understand, yes, we're going to do dumb stuff. We're going to make some stupid decisions. God forgives that. So when you do it, stop running from him. Stop trying to hide it. Now, come on, how can we hide anything from God? How can you can be somewhere, you look around, you run. I'll run down here so nobody can see me. Stop trying to peek through. I do what I want to do, and I'm good because nobody can see me. And then I feel this tap, tap, tap on my shoulder. And hear God said, what are you doing? It's like, sinning. And we need to understand that. There's no place we can go where God doesn't see us. And all we have to do is admit, God, I did it, or I did it again. How do I fix this? See, understand, folks, the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the furnace. And God didn't supernaturally turn the furnace into an igloo. They went into a furnace heated 7 times hotter than it was supposed to be. God delivered them. Daniel was thrown into the den of hungry lions. And they want fasting. But God delivered them. It's just that simple. I believe that the reason God sent the angel to tell Paul that all was going to be well was because Paul was starting to get a little concerned. Because he didn't notice, he didn't say anything to those on the ship until he got a word from the Lord. So it didn't matter to him when a viper bit him. It didn't matter. But here's a key, folks. 1 Peter 5. I want to start at verse 5. I have to start from verse 5 just so I don't start in the middle of a thought. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and listen to this, and be clothed with humility. I mean, stop being so full of yourself. See, one of the reasons we're leaning to our own understanding is because we have not embraced humility. Our attitude is, I know. I know that. Child, I've been born again for 45 years. You've been born again for 3, and you're going to try and tell me the word? I know. Eventually, I'll get there. I know. I was just trying to tell you that God can heal. I know he heals. Man, this hip is hurting me. I hate this. I hate this. God, why am I going through this? I know. Humility, you know, I never thought of that. Yeah, why am I saying that this thing hurts me? Thank you, Father, that with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my hip is healed. Amen. And yes, it's a little uncomfortable, but it's not going to stop me, Father, from completing your will. Amen. You said you heal all my diseases. This qualifies as a disease, so I know you're going to heal it. And we start saying that instead of complaint. Well, see, if you're not humble, you'll complain. You won't give thanks. See, when you do that, the verse said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if you don't humble yourself before God, you know what you're doing? You're putting yourself in a position where God is resisting you. I don't want God to ever resist me. So I have to walk in humility, whether I like it or not. If I want God to embrace me and not resist me, I can't be proud. I have to be humble. Verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Our own understanding says you've been here for 30 years and nobody's recognized you. And you've got going, yeah, that's right. Every time the door's open, I'm there. Nobody ever offered me a donut. Nothing. I'm staying home this Sunday. Well, I heard that this church does this thing. Maybe I'll go there. But God didn't tell you to go there. He told you to come here. Casting, Pastor Ed was sharing this Wednesday evening, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that's not saying other people don't care for you, but not the way God does. Because after a while, folks are going to get tired of caring for you. I'm just telling you the truth. You're going to see someone who you don't think saw you, and you're on your way up this aisle. Go up this way. And you do that because I don't want to hear about their sore knee another time. You know. Well, we can't do that. Okay, God, do you want me to go that way? And I guess it's okay if you say, please say no, because he's not going to listen to that part. Okay. Be honest. Just be honest with God. My phone will ring, and before I pick up, I look at it. Because I want to see who's calling me. And then I say, God, do I answer this call or let it go to voicemail? I do that with every call. Every call. And he says, answer, I answer. If he says, no, you need to keep doing this, call him back in 20 minutes. I call back in 20 minutes. Because I've done it based on my own understanding. And at the end of the day, I wondered where all my time went. Because usually when I do that, you think, why would you do it more than once? Because I was dumb. But they're some of the most unproductive days of my life. Because you get drawn into something that God didn't intend for you to deal with that day. Or at that time. I didn't have his wisdom or knowledge about it because my head and everything was somewhere else. And so I learned, ask God. And now when I pick up everything, the calls are productive. And I promise you, I may not be available to talk, Pastor Ed, we may not, but we will always get back to you. So don't feel abandoned. And if you consider it to be a emergency, well we have procedures in place for that. You contact Minister Dolores or Deacon John, and they'll let us know if we need to stop what we're doing to handle something. But even more important than that, God will let us know. In verse 8, I told you about this a little before. I said we get back to it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, that means you. You are to resist him. And be steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, this is important, because the devil will tell you the only one that this happened to, you must be a terrible person. But the word says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So you're not the only one that's on this rough road to victory. Every other believer is on the same road. And it's important to know that. Because if they can do it, you can do it. I would have liked, yesterday the young adults went on a hike along they were on the Hudson River Basin, and they said it was an easy hike. I said, let Elder Geneva take them on one that's a little harder, see, and they'll keep up because she can do it. Because she can do it, if Elder Geneva can do this hike, then I can do it also. I mean, you have to have someone who can prove to you it's possible. That's all you need to know. And even if no one that you know has ever accomplished it, if God told you to do it, it's possible. Psalm 34, I'm just about done. It says, the angels of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. And then it says, and delivers them. And I ask you the question again. Why would the angel of the Lord have to deliver us if they didn't expect that something was going to come? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him. If you lean to your own understanding, you're going to have bitterness shoved down your throat. And you're going to be shoving it down everybody's throat that you, or trying to, everybody's throat that you encounter. But you've tasted, once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, change your diet. Instead of digesting everything that's happening to you that's wrong, meditate on everything that God promised you. That's much sweeter. I need you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to shout out a confession. The Living Bible says, oh, put God to the test and see how kind he is. See for yourself the way his mercies shower down on all who trust in him. If you belong to the Lord, reverence him. For everyone who does this has everything he needs. So I want you to shout out, I am not afraid of the rough road to victory. Because God has already given me the victory in Christ Jesus. I'm not moved by the loneliness, the steepness, the unevenness, even the high grass. I'm not going to feel like I'll never find my way to the finish line. I'm not afraid of the violence or the infractions of the rules. It doesn't matter if the road is dangerous or uncomfortable. I will experience success. I will triumph over all enemies. I'm fit for this battle and this war. I will triumph because God has given me a superior position against any opponent, any opposition, any difficulty, or anything else that may stand in my way. In all situations, my trust is in the Lord with all my heart. And I absolutely refuse to lean or even consider my own understanding. I am committing this day to acknowledge him in all my ways. And he will skillfully guide my path along this rough road to the victory he gave me. Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise.